Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hope you guys are doing well, and we know that God has blessed us, as I said before, to make it here and be on this side of living another day. We know it could have been easily otherwise, and we know that there were some who dwelt among the living who were not here last week. So we have so many things to be thankful for at this time. We have so many things that God has blessed us with, and so many things that, again, when we look around, so many blessings that we can really, really thank God for. Lesson this morning, we're going to talk about the parable of the 10 virgins. Why are we talking about this? Because I think sometimes we lose sight of it, and sometimes time has a way of slipping up on us. As I was thinking about a lesson for us to learn from this morning and something that can help us, you know, time has a way of slipping up on us. You know, when you look back on it, the way life goes is, you know, when you're young, one of the things you do when you're a teenager, you tell yourself, and sometimes you're bold enough to tell your parents things like this: I can't wait till I'm grown. You ever said that before? I can't wait till I'm grown and can make my own decisions. Well, guess what? Growing up is overrated. I wish I could go back and eat for free, not have to pay any bills, not have to do any of that stuff, sleep half the day, and just live life. Then sooner or later, you wait to the point where you say, you know, I can wish I could work long enough till I work, till I can retire. Well, guess what? You blink twice, and then you're in life's eve. And then you look back and you wonder, where did life go? Where did life go? Where did I spend my time? And where did time go? I had all these times and all these plans, and yeah, I accomplished some of them. I got some things done, but where did time go? Where did time go? And before you know it, you look back, and yeah, you accomplish some things, but I think sometimes you look back at all the times you could have done more. And especially if you were a Christian, if you are a Christian, what more could you be doing for God? What more could you have done? So we're going to learn some things from this parable of the 10 virgins. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and why are we looking at stuff like this? Because we're at the end of the year, but I want us to think about the times we're living in. I want us to think about not just today, not just because of what we're dealing with and the sickness that's upon us, but I want us to think about and maybe just focus on maybe cherishing every day. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised the next day, the next minute. But how are we taking into account every day of our lives? Every moment, every second of our lives, what are we doing with it? How are we using it to please the Master? Because I think if we look back and I look over our lives, we waste so much time. And time is precious. Time is precious. So let's see if we can learn a lesson or two this morning from the parable of the 10 virgins. And it reads as such: at that time, the kingdom of the heaven will be like the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, of your lamps. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," many translations say, "Lord, Lord," was giving me, has more of an impact, said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you a truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So we're going to learn some lessons this morning from the parable of the 10 virgins. Think about how sad that was. Think about preparation. Think about how we must always be prepared as we embark and we approach the dawning of a new year. Think about what your goals are. Think about some changes you want to make. Think about some things you may want to do different. Not just waiting until New Year's Eve. Don't think about just making New Year's resolution, because you and I may not be here New Year's. You know, some people say, you know what? I'm going to make some changes January the 1st. Why not make them today? If you need to make them January the 1st, what you waiting on January the 1st for? How is that going to be any different day on the calendar? So let's see what we can learn today. Parables are a simple way to teach deep truths. We often use they use everyday examples. They're so simple, the simple miss the meaning. So complex, the thoughtful leave something out. They fly over their heads. Christ taught in parables for these very same reasons. So he uses something very simple. The tradition, the very traditions of a Jewish wedding. The betrothment period or the engagement period in a wedding. But notice he taught some deep, profound truths to those who were blessed to hear the teachings that he was teaching at this time. Something as simple as a wedding party. Think about people get married every day. They have wedding parties, whether that be the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. That goes on each and every day. But he's teaching something a lot deeper here. He's teaching some spiritual truths here. He's teaching a parable that depicts 10 girls or 10 bridesmaids awaiting the bridegroom. Why is that important? Because this was the custom of a Jewish wedding. The way it went was there was a betrothment period. They were engaged. There was an engagement period that usually began 1 year before the wedding. Bridegroom chose his bride. There was an engagement period. And then the bridegroom went away to prepare a place. He built his home for his bride. There was no such thing as living together, none of that stuff. All the stuff that's modern today, that didn't happen. He went away, built a place for him. But then he came back in the middle of the night. It was tradition for her and her wedding party to be waiting constantly around the clock as he came back in the middle of the night. The wedding took place oftentimes in the middle of the night. But they had to be ready. That was tradition. The bridegroom goes away. The bridegroom goes away to prepare a living place. He returns in the middle of the night to receive his bride. The wedding party, then the bridesmaids leads the bride away in the middle of the night, and the wedding is performed. That's what happens. This is what Christ is using to teach a profound spiritual truth. So let's see what we can learn out of it. What it should be like. Think about this now. Think about what it should be like when Christ returns for his church without spot or wrinkle. What should it be like for those who name the name of Christ? There should be joy in judgment for those who spend each day in preparation for the midnight hour. But the reality is, that's not the way it's going to be for the vast majority. How do we know that? When you look at Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, and when you look at the end of Revelation, it's not going to be that way for the majority. When you look at our world today, when you look at how many folks profess the name of Christ, when you look at how many folks say they believe in God, the majority of the world says they do. But our Bible tells us that's not the way it's going to be. Those who say they believe in Christ and follow Christ, the Bible tells us it's not going to be that way. We should always be ready for duty and prepare for joy. The church should be working together and looking for this day to come. There should be willing participation at all times. Even those in the church today, there's going to be a separation. Everybody's not going to make it. That's the truth about it. Because we see here, we get the picture. These are folks in the kingdom. These are folks that have already been given that lamp. This signifies those who may have obeyed the gospel at one point in time, but had no lamp, no oil in their lamps. That lets us know that everybody who starts off on this journey may not make it. Because we see in the end, he says, I do not know you. Which means and gives us the mindset he may once have known him, but he didn't know him now. Man, this is tough. So let's see what else we can learn. The reality is there were five wise and five foolish virgins. Now notice they were virgins. They were clothed in white. They had been cleansed at one point in time. So here we get the picture that at one point in time they had done maybe what God had required them to do to be cleansed from their sins. This is why we need to continue this walk with Christ. Israel longed for the Messiah to come, but was not ready when he came. How about the church? Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8 tells us that there will be some who will be ready, but many who won't be. This is still true of the Lord's church today. The question is, which number will you be named among? The wise or the foolish? Which number will you be named among? The wise or the foolish? It's not just enough to start the journey. It's not just enough to go through that one-time act. Which number will you be named among? So let's look at the wise. What made them wise? They had oil in their lamps. Oil represents they were guided by the Holy Spirit. They had not quenched the Spirit in their lives. They were still guided by the Word of God. They took it with them. They were walking. They were faithful. It was their light to walk by. The oil also represented righteous living. There are so many Christians who started off well, but have gone back out to the beggarly elements of the world. At that point in time, that pushed them in the category of foolish virgins. But they can fool themselves if they want to. But Scripture tells otherwise. And we're going to see what the outcome is based on this particular parable. The lamp represents both faith and works in their lives. Because we know what? Faith without works is dead. Now we know we don't earn it, but we prove who we are by our works. Not that we earn heaven at all. Nobody deserves it. But we prove who we are by producing works. We work the works of righteousness in our life. We must have both to please God today. So it shouldn't make a difference in our lives. It shouldn't make a difference in our lives. These were the wise ones. These were the wise ones. The wise only had one lamp. Now why is that so important? They didn't have anybody. They couldn't loan it out to anybody. So when you think about this thing called salvation, this is something you and I have to do for ourselves. Now think about this, because we see later on in this particular parable, they only had enough oil for themselves. Righteousness is not transferable and is not inheritable. You don't get in on the family discount. You don't get in on the group discount. You won't get in because your family was there. This is something that you and I have to do for ourselves. We can't give it away and we can't loan it out. This is what it's talking about here. We see it. And I imagine it's going to be that way on Judgment Day. There are going to be some folks trying to borrow your oil. There are going to be some folks that you love dearly. Because I imagine going all the way back to Noah's Ark. Can you imagine? Because guess what? There was eight folks in the ark, right? According to Genesis chapter 6. Can you imagine maybe the pain that Noah and his family felt? Or maybe their cousin was out there in the water. And maybe the person, the aunt, the auntie, or somebody else was saying, you know what? You can't save me, Noah, but can't you save little Johnny? And holding him up maybe to the one window, the one door that was there. And maybe they heard the cries, but guess what? They couldn't open it. It was not theirs to open. We have to think about those things. Couldn't loan it to give it away. But they were wise because they had oil in their lamps. So let's look at the foolish. They took their lamps with no oil. They started out with faith, but added nothing to it. Faith without works is dead. And instead of going to the source and continually having that lamp filled, they thought they were okay. This is the picture of a person who may be a Christian in name only. Not faithful in the study, not faithful in the worship, have quenched the Holy Spirit in their lives, are doing and living worldly, maybe attend worship only when they feel guilty or when something's going bad in their lives. Lamps with no oil. Foolish virgins. This is a big problem in the Lord's church today. There are so many in this category. The Bible calls them foolish virgins. Christ and His Word must be our main source for spiritual nourishment. We must not let others discourage us when they tell us rightfully, so they only have enough for them. God has everlasting sources to sustain us. Now we see this come into play a little later on in this passage. Because when they start asking other folks around, the answer was, I only got enough for me, partner. You know how sometimes you get mad at folks like that? Some of us grew up in households like that. Some of us grew up in households, just knowing some of you. If you was the last person at the dinner table, you were short, wasn't you? Some of you had big families, and you can mess around and be late to the dinner table if you want to, because you ain't getting nothing but a bone and some gristle. Some of your houses, just knowing some of you. That's it. And sometimes you late for 2 seconds, somebody's going to eat their portion and yours. That's just the way it was. I know some folks in my family were telling me about it. You can be late if you want to. You know, some folks, you're going to be just hungry to the next day. But think about that for a moment in terms of eternity. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Right now, while the blood is still running warm in your veins, that's plenty. God is still willing. He's still willing, and He's abundant. He can give it to you abundantly. But in judgment, it's going to be too late. When He gives that midnight call, which is symbolic, the judgment call, it's going to be too late to try to get some oil in your lamps. Or, even more importantly, even more relevant, when you die, it's going to be too late. Or, on death's bed, which makes it a little bit more relevant, it may be a little too late to serve. We see that today, even more so. May be too late to put all in your lamp. Now what happens? The bridegroom is delayed. We have that picture right now. We're still here right now because the bridegroom is delayed. He's been delayed right now for 2,000 some odd years. When He came back, and when He stepped on the cloud, and went up to glory in Acts chapter 1, that was the beginning of the delay period. But it's not going to be delayed forever. Your Bible and mine tells us He's coming back as a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye. Just that quick. That midnight cry is that way. It's not going to be like basketball. It's not going to be like football at the end of the game when you get a 2-minute warning. That's not going to happen. He's not going to happen. He's going to show up just that quick. Are you ready? It's going to be too late to stumble around in the dark and try to find your lamp and try to get some oil. We see that. Then the midnight call is heard, the call to judgment. Now it's judgment time. Will you be ready? Then all the virgins, notice who has the lamp and who has the oil, access to the oil. What about those who aren't virgins? It's only responding to these. What about those who are not considered virgins according to this particular parable? Their fate is already sealed, church. They're not even included in this. But then, notice my phrases here. It's too late for It's too late for can I borrow? It's too late. Do you have some extra? It's too late for that. It's too late. Because the answer is going to be no. We got some great friends who will give you to shut off their back. But at judgment, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late for you. Those who have big hearts and would do that in that category, it's going to be too late because you cannot help your friend. You cannot help your spouse. You cannot help your mother, your child, whoever it is. You cannot help them because you're only going to have enough for yourself. The answer is going to be no. I got just enough. Man, it's going to be a rough time. It's going to be a joyous time for those who are prepared with oil in their lamps. But it's going to be a rough time for those who have no oil in their lamps. They're panicking. They're worried. Because guess what? They knew they should have been prepared. For those who are Christians, who know that Christ is coming back, and are still not prepared, what excuse can you give? He told you he was coming back. He told you through our scripture. He told you what you must do to be saved. He told you that you have to be faithful. What excuse can you really give him? What excuse is going to suffice? What excuse do you think that he's going to accept? That's the hard question. Because if anybody knows, it's us. We know. We read it. We know. You should have been ready. That's the only answer that we can get. This would be a sad picture of judgment for many. They had so much time to prepare for this great feast, this wedding feast. They wasted precious time and opportunity. Maybe they thought they could escape by at the last minute, but guess what? You notice it said before this? It said they slept and slumbered. Now here is a symbolic of the sleep of death, but it's also symbolic of sleeping through life, like we always do. Because we do. We just sometimes just get up, sleep. Life has a way of sleeping through it. You know, life has a way of making us just sleepwalk through life. We do that. Problems make us sleepwalk through life. Leisure, pleasures has a way of making us sleepwalk through life. And then the midnight call. And then we panic. Or the alarm button goes off. Like sometimes it does in the morning. And then you realize, I might be late. I'm about to miss it. They were woefully unprepared at judgment. Now they wonder why. This should really make us think about the possibility of last minute salvation. Too late. It was too late to buy or purchase lamp or oil. It was too late because the bridegroom's shop was closed. Knock, knock. Peeking through the windows. It's closed. Too late. It was too late. Using my example earlier in Genesis chapter 6. Ox door was closed. It was too late. They had 100 years while Noah was preaching. It was too late. Many folks said, well, that's kind of cruel. Couldn't you give us one more day? No, you had 100 years. Knock, knock. Too late. Couldn't you give us one more day? Can you open the oil store for one more day? No, no sir, no ma'am. You had all that time when you slept and slumbered. Now this last part. Lord, Lord, open up to us. Wait a minute. They're calling him Lord. Using terms of endearment. See, they knew him. It sounded good. They loved him. But what is his response? Does it change anything because they called him Lord? Will it change anything in judgment when folks call him Lord? Your word and mine says no. The bridegroom's response, I do not know you. Oh, my goodness. Man, I do not know you. I don't know about you, but that sends chills down my spine. I do not know you. Imagine. Can you just imagine you being the one hearing that in judgment? Can you imagine that's the last thing you hear from a loving God? I'm sorry, Lord. I do right this time. I'm sorry, Lord. All I need is just a little bit of oil to get me into judgment. I know I should have listened. I know I should have been a better Christian. I know I should have done those things. But see, I know now. I know what's important now. And he's going to say, I know. I don't know you. Now, this is different than Matthew 7:21, where he says, I never knew you. Different words, different terminology. Because this, to me, hurts a little bit more. Because, see, they were virgins at first. Now he has to tell them that I don't know you anymore. Because you should have known better. You were once clean. You were once a virgin. You were there with me. You were in the wedding party. And you still missed it. So this ought to hit the home for Christians. Don't be one of the foolish virgins. I close my lesson out. Don't be one of the foolish virgins. Now is the time to make sure you have oil in your lamps. And it's trim and burning bright. Life has a way of making us a little tired. If you ever lived in this world, and if you're living in this world now, oh my goodness, you're not tired of this world and this mess. I don't know what world you're living in. If you're not tired of the cruel and evilness in this world, you must be living in an alternative universe or something. Because I know I am. I was talking to someone the other day, and you know what? I'm trying to look at it a little differently. Instead of looking at how bad this world is, I'm actually starting to look at it a lot more like, well, look, at least we're one day closer to Jesus coming back. I really am. And that puts a little smile on my face when I have my worst day. Maybe you're not there yet, because I know I am. I'm one day closer to being with my Lord and Savior. That's why I am with it. So maybe you're not, but I know I am. Even in my worst days, I made it through another day, and I'm one day closer to being with Jesus, one way or the other. Whether if I die a physical death or he's one day closer to coming back. Because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But make sure you got some oil in your lamp. Make sure you don't go and cross over in that category of foolish virgin. It's sad to go through all this world has to throw at you and still miss heaven. Don't get so tied up in this world that you miss what's most important. All we have is the time today. And we know that we live in this earth, and Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. And we know that's the way of all men, except for three that we've seen of. Really hadn't tasted it. Everybody else is going to meet the same fate, right? And it's just a transition. We're going to live somewhere forever. As I'm talking about on Wednesday night, I'm in 2 Peter. And Peter tells us that soon we're going to put off this earthly tabernacle. Don't be afraid to transition. Everybody wants what's after them. Nobody wants to die. That's the problem. But it's just a transition. That's all it is. But don't lose the war. You're going to lose the battle. But don't lose the war. But oh my goodness, God has some things prepared for those who prepare for him. That's what it's all about. Man's days on this earth, 70, 80, 80 by reason of health. That's 70 to 80 years, a little bit longer. You take good care of yourself and God blessed you. That's not a long time compared to eternity. Two categories. Wise virgins, foolish virgins. One or the other. This is talking to the Lord's church, because we see at the beginning he's talking about those and referring to those in the kingdom. which is synonymous with the church. It's not including those still in the world. Which category are you in? We do that. We become members of the Lord's church by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then we believe what we have heard, whether you want to or not. They didn't believe they had to have oil in the lamp until it was too late. They probably thought they was okay until the judgment cry, the midnight hour. Believe it. It's not going away for you, me, or nobody else. Then repent of your sins. That's what it takes. Just, we know it. We see what God's word says, and whether you feel good about it or not, if it goes against and contradicts God's word, my brothers and sisters, it's sin. No matter what the society calls it, no matter what its alternative lifestyle, whatever you want to name, you want to put on it, sin is sin, period. And then we confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But not just with our mouth. That's the easy part. Are you confessing Him with your everyday lifestyle? Are you confessing Him with your speech? Are you confessing Him with how you live your life? Are you confessing Him with what you watch, what you listen to, all these other things, and how you confess it? Because that's how we really confess it. Because if not, you're not owning up to Him. And guess what? He won't own up to you either in judgment either. Because He says it. And then be baptized for the remission of sins. In the water of gave a baptism. Why? Because He said so. Why? Because that's what we come into contact with, the cleansing blood of Christ. Why? Because that's how we're baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, which makes us a Christ again. Nothing magical in the water, but that's what He says, and that's what we come into contact with, and then we rise to walk in newness of life. That's where we become new creatures. Because then, by our obedience and our acceptance to His terms, then He makes us new. And then the hard part starts. We begin to walk it. But as we walk it, that repentance, that oil gets full, that's that part of repentance. When that lamp, the sin, burns your lamp a little bit. That's how we burn it out, sin. But aren't we glad that God anoints us and fills it up? As Psalms 23 says, that anointing part, He puts it back in there and makes sure it's full. That's how He does it. That's how we make sure we got enough to the end. Because none of us can do it. Satan and sin is going to burn it, you know, like crazy. I went down, didn't I? I ain't been down since 69. What y'all talking about? So if y'all want to put on Christ in baptism or request best of prayer, we ask you to please come forward and we'll